in Uganda, we would then move on and sing a revival song. But now I'm not going to sing it. I know Laurie said he's ready for the dancing and the singing this morning, but we want to do that. We bring very warm greetings from your brothers and sisters in Uganda, Uganda Christian University in particular, and the Diocese of Lango, where two of my students, Prisca and Nelson, come from, and they are here with you. The people home, they greet you in Jesus' name. It is so good to be here this morning. First, to say a big thank you for the way you have been hospitable to us, your hospitality. And I hope that as I say this, it gives you a little feel of my pronunciation and the pace at which I speak for those who have not heard me before. So I'm not yet in the gospel. I'm just getting you ready. I know it is Archbishop Ben Kwashi who would preach for 1 hour and say it's all introductions. But it won't be so for me. It really feels for me and Susan, my wife, who is sitting next to Peggy and Stephen all over there, Susan. It feels a bit like the Ugandan day because we had a choir here, we had the Ugandan team leading, and I am from Uganda preaching, and I have Ugandan brothers and sisters who live this side of the ocean. And then we have the visiting Christians. So it's really, in a sense, make me feel very much at home. But thank you, thank you, thank you for your hospitality, for looking after us so well. We feel rested, and we feel encouraged, and we feel blessed. And the warmth of your fellowship, we are so thankful. In Lango, we would say, Apoyo Matek. That is my mother tongue, just so you know a little bit of that. Now I want to turn our attention to the message for today. I received three readings, which is in your order of service there. But after meditating, I felt the Lord laying heavily on my heart to speak more from the Old Testament reading. And as a way of reminder, I invite you to look there at Genesis chapter 3, the first 6 verses. I know we have read 15 verses, but I want to refresh your memory with the first. Oh, it's Exodus, not Genesis. Oh, the congregation is very alert. I beg your pardon. Exodus, not Genesis. I was still opening to it. And I think I was going to get there. Exodus chapter 3. This is what we read. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then the Lord said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. My dear friends in Christ, if you have read Moses' biography, you will know from Exodus chapter 2 that he's a foster child of God's grace, because his life was almost over even before it began. Fast forward to Exodus chapter 3. Moses finds himself on the backside of life. He was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. It is there, in verse 3 we read, where he noticed a thorn burning bush, yet the bush is not consumed. This burning bush was a direct manifestation of God to call Moses to serve. But this was not merely a call for Moses to lead the Israelites. Yes, indeed, Moses was going to be leading the Israelites as called of God. But the word here is very simple. It was a call for Moses to meet God in his own terms, to have an experience with God. And the call to ministry is qualified by a true confrontation with God himself. I see here a number of us who are in the ordained ministry, and we can, I believe, resonate with this in our calling. Friends, God does not merely want us to serve men, but he ultimately wants us to experience him. And this being the third Sunday in Lent, it affords us opportunity to reflect a little bit more deeply about meeting God on his terms, about experiencing God personally, about seeing God, listening to God, and understanding the purpose for which he lays on each one of us his calling. But unfortunately, I get to see around the world, especially in Africa, there are many workers who work for a master whom they have never met. For you here, there are many people who work for CEOs or directors whom you have never met. And this text tonight, for those of us in ministry first, then I will come to the rest who are not in the ordained ministry. The text challenges us to truly know the God whom we have been called to serve. This is a sobering moment. We can learn from this burning bush experience a number of things. We learn in part, if you look at verse 1, the first part of it, of that verse, God can capitalize on common situation. We read, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. It's a very ordinary situation. He was in there, but God used that situation. Most of us, biblical scholars, so to say, have divided the life of Moses in about three big segments of 40 years per segment. The first 40 years begin with life in an Egyptian palace and end in Midian at the point of murdering an Egyptian and burying him in the sand. The second 40 years records Moses attending to Jethro's sheep responsibly and also being called to lead Israel. And the last 40 years records his leading of Israel through their wilderness experience and ending with the death even before entering the promised land. In this particular time in Moses' life, he is living a life that is a far cry from his days in Pharaoh's palace. He is living an ordinary life, doing an ordinary job, yet this is the place where God uses an extraordinary opportunity to really look at this ordinary life in an ordinary occupation and extract, as it were, an extraordinary calling. Because long gone were the days of palace life and thoughts of great leadership for Moses. A moment of failure in his life, literally, would change everything. But you know, sometimes it is at a point of failure or mediocrity that God gets the best out of us. As a bishop, I've seen this over and over. Something of my life. In 1982, in a dramatic turn of my life, in a very ordinary setting, deep in the bush in Africa, God delivered me from the worship of traditional African gods. I was an apprentice to my grandmother, who herself was a medicine woman. She was a midwife, but she also had two traditional gods. I know these sort of things may not make much sense to the Western world, because you don't quite see this God. You don't meet this God physically. You don't touch this God physically. A little difficult. But it was where I came out of. So this day, I was experiencing headache, severe headache. And two itinerant evangelists walking, door knocking. You know, our weather is warm. It's not the sort of weather I've been experiencing some days here. The other day I went out to meet Abby just at the lobby, and it was bright. But when I got out, no, the weather was biting, especially with my head without the hair. So really, I was lying under a mango tree on the compound of my mother. The mango tree is a bit more like a sitting room, so to say. But I was with this severe headache, and these two evangelists, they walked to me. And they found me lying down on the mat. And I'm looking at them from down, and I'm making comparison with my schoolmaster, who was always on a tie, not a bow tie like Lori, always, and a jacket, and smart, and speaking sense. But these are two, should I say, walking poverties. They are really poor, you could see from the outside. Bare-chested, not by choice, torn pair of shorts, not the type I see here in the U.S. where somebody has a clean shirt but is torn all over. In fact, I should go back to Uganda and say there's a market for torn clothes. But these were just poor people and barefooted. And they said to me, young man, Jesus lived in Galilee, found people who look so nice on the face, but deep inside, they were hurting and they were bleeding because of sin. Do you believe that Jesus can save you? Remember, I'm living a very ordinary life in the home of a diviner. We don't go to church. We have known nothing about salvation. So the word was coming fresh through ordinary people. And truly, I wanted to leave. So I lifted up my hands, and they held my hands, and they led me into a confession of my sins. And they prayed for me to receive Jesus Christ in my life, and they went on to cast demons, just in case they were there. And truly, they got it. So I come to you as a very ordinary person, that God used ordinary people in an extraordinary setting and brought me out to proclaim the gospel and to serve him. I have experienced something of that. But I believe each one of you who have come to the ordained ministry, you have also had your moments when God ordinarily calling you out to serve him. So you never know when God calls you to get out of your cosh and serve him. It could be in a sheep field like Moses. It could be fishing time like Peter. It may be like Paul on the road to Damascus. It may be during the moment that you least expected. And God calls you to serve him. The question on the table that I bring to you this morning is this: are you ready to answer when God calls? Because He can capitalize on your situation, ordinary situation, and He can be able to bring an extraordinary thing out of that when you least expect. Now, for the Africans who are here, I would have to apply this a little different from my brothers and sisters in the Western context. So let me first apply this to the African. For us, what Africans would quickly understand is you are the bush. And in that bush, there are reptiles, there are wild animals, there are, you know, you need God in His terms to come into that bush. And then He will consume that bush. And then He will instruct you out of that bush. And then He will make that bush a holy place and for His own purposes. So you bushes in Africa, that bush needs God to confront it on His own terms. But let me come back to the Western world. Literally, the point is this: the burning bush caught the attention of Moses. And out of the burning bush, God spoke to Moses and made a call. It is often when God isolates us, when we least expect, and then He can deal with us properly. He was with Moses at the backyard, in the bush, looking after the sheep, not really in the main place. And He was able to deal with Moses there on His own terms and for His calling. So sometimes God will deal with us in the hospital bed, by the graveside. He can deal with us wherever. But just stay tuned. Stay alert that God is still at work. He is still manifesting Himself to us. He's still revealing Himself to us in the ordinary day-to-day way of life. So this Lent affords us opportunity to refocus again to God and to see God and meet God and hear Him. What is this He has to say to us, and where is it He has to send us, and where is it He wants us to be serving Him? And so I want to conclude for each one of us today. Do we see the revelation of God? Do we hear God speaking to us? Have we met God on His own terms? Or we have a kind of God that we just imagine, but we don't quite really understand Him. I want to believe that God is real. God is still at work. God is still calling us. And God is still sending us. And so as you go home, think about it. Allow God to speak in your life. And allow God to use you and to send you and to do an extraordinary thing about His people, because He cares for His people. If you read the remaining part of the verses, He is really in the business of looking after His people, using people He has called. May the Lord humble us to listen to Him and to see Him and to be in His business. In Africa, we are doing it. This side of the world, you should be doing it. So may the Lord bless all of us as we continue to listen to God and to focus to God, but to repent of all that is in our bushes, so to say, as in Africa, and let God consume those issues. You see, when I think about the fire, as I conclude, fire is good. It can bring warmth, but it can also burn. And so is God. He really, on His own terms, can burn our sins. He, in His own terms, can deal with our prides. He, in His own terms, can turn around our ignorance. But He is good. He is the place so to be and to serve. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.